Start the damn, start the damn show. Start the damn show.
All right. Hey, you filthy animals. I don't know what I'm saying.
I'm using
brilliant.
It.
Brilliant. All right, let's use it.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Recorded live at the wonderful Big Sushi Studio, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Slaughter Film.
Hey, you filthy animals, I am Corey Eggnog Carr, and I'm accompanied as always by Forrest the Yule Log Taylor, and this is Slaughter Film, the weekly podcast devoted to reviewing the films that are legendary, even in hell. And of course, in the studio today with us is our producer John Linvay. And this is another totally awesome Christmas-themed edition of Slaughter Film.
I wish I had some jingle bells on me, because I think all episode long I'd just be back here like... just to get you guys in the fucking spirit.
The spirit. Right. Well, I'll be sharing my thoughts on the 1984 critically despised Killer Santa movie, Silent Night, Deadly Night. And Forrest will be explaining his thoughts on the film Christmas Evil.
Christmas Evil.
I'm having a hard time today.
You Better Watch Out, a.k.a. I think like Terror and Toyland. This movie had a lot of titles.
You Better Watch Out sounds a lot better than Christmas Evil.
It is. It works better, too, and I'll explain that when I describe the story and everything. But first of all, hey, how have you been this week?
I've been pretty good. I haven't really done much. I've been Christmas shopping. And,
yeah, right.
I don't know. That's been keeping me busy. How about you?
Pretty much the same. I just want to shout out my brother's coming home tomorrow. Actually, when this gets put out, he'll probably be home already. But
yeah.
Yes, coming back from army training finally.
He's going to have army abs or something.
I can't imagine what he's going to look like when he comes back. I know he's not going to have any hair.
How long has he been out? Like, did he just finish basic?
Yeah, he just finished basic.
Basic's what? Like, is that like a couple? How many weeks is that?
I think six.
Yeah, I was just going to say six to 8 weeks.
Something like that. Yep. So it's been a while, but
you
it's
can get
cool.
You can get pretty fit that quick like that.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember when you do like conditioning week for when you like would used to play sports and you'd have like those like 2-a-days for like. Basically 4 weeks in a row, and you just be like, all of a sudden, like, oh, hey, I'm not a scrawny, nerdy white kid anymore. I'm a slightly muscular, nerdy white kid.
other than that, I finally got... this is why I love and hate technology at the same time. I finally got the story of film, the 15-hour documentary about film, mailed to me. It was on Friday the 14th. And when I got it, the exact same day that documentary is now, all 15 episodes are on Netflix. kind of killed the fun of, you know, receiving it and everything. My roommate told me I should sell it, to which I said no, because first of all, I've got all the cool artwork and there's like a 50-page booklet that comes with it and all that shit. Second of all, if I sell it, I'm at Netflix, you know, mercy, and they can decide to just kick it out of there whenever, and I don't want that shit. So
that's how I feel about Star Trek. Like, I want to buy... Next Generation, but at the same time, I'm like, well, it's on Netflix, but it might just not be there.
Just one day they might decide, no more Star Trek.
Did you guys hear about the remastered ones for the Blu-ray remastering for TNG?
Yeah.
They're actually going back and re-scanning in each frame and remastering it, and then for the ones which they had, like, they did special effects, like their old CG, they're actually redoing those completely new, but, like, with love and care.
See again.
And there's only like two seasons done so far, and they're a little bit they're a little bit up there. I think they're like $60 for a season.
So to get all like 9 seasons or whatever, that'd be a lot of money.
Blu-ray.
But that's awesome. Again, I love and hate technology because I was so happy when I went to the exchange and found the whole series on sale for like $100 and I bought it. And now this shit. I could just never win.
But you can watch those. For like the next 10 years until the Blu-rays are cheap.
That's true. Yeah, good point. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, just a lot of Christmas shopping and whatnot.
Okay. Well, that's... I did a thing because it's Christmas and I got you a gift and I wrapped it in everything.
Thanks, man.
And it wasn't even in toilet paper.
That's good. Can I open it now?
Yeah.
Cool.
Open it next to the mic so everyone can hear.
Oh. Hear the paper being wrapped.
It's real. We're not just, you know, acting.
Yeah, we're not acting here.
You were like the most tender like present opener ever.
Are you fucking kidding me? I now have Paul Blart Mall Cop on Blu-ray. Fun story about this. Back in 2009, The Wrestler finally was coming to theaters, and I was so jacked about seeing it because I wanted to see The Wrestler for like ever since I first heard that it was coming out.
Really good movie,
it's
too.
It's a great movie. And then
incredible movie.
The weekend that it was supposed to be there, I went to find the schedules, and all I could find was Paul Blart Mall Cop, and I was so fucking mad. Fortunately, The Wrestler came the next week, but I was like, God damn it, Paul Blart, really? Well, now I can enjoy Paul Blart Mall Cop whenever.
And the warmth and comfort of your own home.
That's right.
It was funny, I was like walking around shopping for other stuff. And I look over at, like, the discount bin, and there are, like, four copies of that. And I'm like, oh, fucking
Blu-ray?
Paul. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, fucking Paul Blart. Paul Blart. Excellent.
Well.
I know whose shelf this belongs on.
It's on now.
Well, I figured it would be a good movie to just get drunk and laugh at. So, not because it's funny. Right. But
so that gift you gave him falls into one of my favorite categories of gift giving. And it's called antagonistic gift giving. And it happens every year because like on Big Sushi and all my friends from there, we all play a lot of video games. And there are so many bad video games.
Oh, yeah.
And every time there's a big Steam sale, which is on the computer, Steam is like the major platform in how you get games. Yeah. You'll have games go on sale for like literally $2 and it's a bad game. And what happens is someone will buy like 8 copies and then send them out to everyone. So last Steam sale, my close friend and co-host Landon sent me an antagonistic gift copy of Train Simulator.
Oh,
2013.
God. 2013.
It's an annually released. It looks every year is a new one.
See, this is what a boring fuck I am. I'd actually be into a game like that. I'd be like, oh, sweet, simulate driving trains. That's awesome. You know?
Look, it comes with a conductor hat.
Choo choo.
I would get that game if it came with a conductor hat, just because I want to wear conductor hats just in my day to day life.
Right.
Oh shit.
Well. All I got to say is it's on now, because I was going to get you something, but I couldn't think of it. I actually had this discussion with
Sarah, your
girlfriend, and I was thinking about going to the comic place and getting some like new issues of Batman, and she was like, don't do anything Batman. He's got everything related to Batman. And
nerd.
I was like, oh, okay, well... Now that I got this, all I can say is it's on.
See, that's the thing.
I don't normally get the antagonistic gift because for a while there, that's like all I got.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even, like, it wasn't fun.
Well, no, this is perfect.
Yeah, that was like nail on the head, so.
No, I think you have to up the ante and you have to get him My Little Pony, like this TV show.
Well, I don't know. Corey,
Friends Forever.
Might secretly be a brony. I don't know.
That's a bad idea.
When he's secretly saying it's a great idea.
Now you got to get me like Dance Moms or something on DVD.
Dance Moms? Is that a real
Zumba
thing?
Fitness?
I don't know what it's called. The little like teenage girls dance and they go to like dance school.
This
and they
is
compete.
Getting weird. This
yeah.
is getting really weird. I'm going to edit this out. I don't want like, the FBI to like,
look
me up now.
It should have been funnier. But you guys were like, what? I'm like, no,
like,
it's
what
real.
What the fuck is Dance Moms?
We're going to be listed on the weird websites now. Thanks a lot, Corey.
Yeah. Hey, we'll get a whole new fan base.
Oh, God.
I don't think you want them.
Aw. Well, anyway, yes, it is Christmas time, so it's time to review horror movies related to Christmas stuff. And fortunately, there's a lot of that. Like, for whatever the hell reason, Christmas, like, brings out the best, like... slasher movies and horror movies and whatever. Like, I don't know what it is.
Well, I think it just following along the slasher, every holiday has to have one.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I think Christmas is such like a jolly, happy holiday that it's easy to fuck with.
Yeah,
I think it's also because, like, if you think about like the holiday season, like Christmas season, it's when a lot of movies come out. And like,
yeah.
And it's, and obviously holidays inspired ones are great, but this is probably when they have the most people in the theaters because everyone's on break or holiday.
That's true.
So,
that is true.
Capitalizing on the moment.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Hollywood. Pigs.
Well. Anyway, that leads us to the first movie that involves a Santa Claus that kills people. Christmas Evil, but I'm not going to call it that because that title is kind of stupid. I'm going to call it You Better Watch Out because I think that title better follows the theme of the movie. Anyway, it begins in the year 1947, and we see two kids. They are Harry and Philip, and their mom are sitting there just watching the chimney. And then, sure enough, Santa shows up and starts, like, eating their cookies and drinking their milk and, like, giving them presents and everything. And Harry is just, like, enraptured with this. He's giggling and laughing. And then finally Santa turns around, does the little, like, laying the finger on his nose thing and, like, giving a little wink or whatever. And then he goes back up the chimney. Okay. We know this is obviously their dad dressed up as Santa. How the fuck did he get down the chimney and then, like, leap back up? Like, that's the only thing I don't get about it, but we'll get into that later. So,
are there going to be a lot of that?
There's a surprising amount of, like, magical stuff in this. I don't know why. But cut to Harry and Philip up in their room, and Philip is like, you know, that was totally our dad. And Harry's like, nuh-uh, it was really Santa Claus. Like, no, it was our dad. And they go back and forth a little bit. Then Harry storms off. He goes downstairs, only to find his mother and his father still in the Santa suit, and they are getting it on. And yes, that's just like, I mean, it's bad enough to walk in and your parents having sex, but then to see him having sex while your dad's dressed as Santa Claus.
Role play.
That's like nightmare fuel right there.
No, Santa, I've been so naughty this year.
This naturally freaks Harry out. He runs upstairs and he runs up to his attic, actually, and finds a snow globe. Breaks it open and then cuts his hand with some of the glass.
Jesus.
That's what normal people do.
This shit got real.
He's acting out.
Yeah.
He's acting out. Santa, you want my mom? Well, you can't have her. I'm going to cut myself.
Cut to the present. That's what it says, by the way. Just the present. And
wait, like a gift?
No.
This is really confusing. Yeah, it's like you can't use that phrase, the present, in a holiday movie.
That should be the name of another holiday movie.
Yeah, that would actually be
God
cool.
Only knows what it is. Or unless it's
my
like
dick.
Yeah.
The present's my dick.
Unless it's like a Nightmare Before Christmas, where all the gifts are like crazy beasts and like booby traps and shit. But
I watched
digress.
That movie recently. It's really good.
What, Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah, I hadn't seen it in a while, and then I watched it again on Netflix, and I forgot how awesome it is.
It's pretty okay.
I like it a lot. But anyway.
No, it's good, but it's one of those things where like, everyone's crazy about that movie. People are nuts about that movie.
I don't want to be that person, but I saw it in the theater back when it first came out when I was 11. And I was so into it, and when it first came on video, I rented it to show to my sister and all her friends, and they were all like, what the hell is this?
This is
and
too
I
was weird. Like,
Clay
Burns
is strange.
Why is this clay? It's dumb.
And then cut to like 10 years later, and then suddenly everyone's all about it. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Damn, Forrest,
I was there when it was pure.
Damon Forrest, you're so cool. How did you like know all the cool things first?
I don't know. I'm just awesome that way.
I never saw a Corpse Bride, because Corpse Bride just seemed like a cash-in.
Yeah.
It just seemed like a cash-in on that whole thing.
I don't know. It might be good.
Yeah, I still haven't seen either.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's hate it all together.
Okay, yeah, all right,
fuck
you,
that movie.
No reason at all.
Yeah.
Lightning doesn't strike twice, Tim Burton, stupid.
Well, anyway,
or I was... eight times for Tim Burton.
Well, we really digress from there. So yes, cut to the present day, not the present. And Harry is
Thank
now...
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yes. Harry is now an adult, and he's working at the Jolly Dream Toy Factory, and he's still really, really, really obsessed with Santa Claus, to the point where, like, when he's shaving, he does the shaving cream, like, beard thing and starts, like, ho-ho-hoing in the mirror and everything.
That's kind of awesome.
So, yeah. So, he's recently been promoted at the Jolly Dream. He's been promoted for... He was originally just a conveyor belt, you know, line worker or whatever. Now he's been promoted to, like, the shift supervisor or whatever, which you think would be a dream job for a guy who fantasizes about being about Santa Claus. He, you know, gets to overlook all these people who are making toys.
Right. That's, he's like head elf.
Yeah. But he doesn't like it. He wants to make toys. He wants to get in the down and dirty and actually like build the stuff for the kids. Suffice to say, no one at work likes him because he's kind of a weird, like, quiet dude who everyone, like, secretly makes fun of behind his back and steals his fucking sandwich. Like, who the fuck does that at work? He's just sitting there eating a sandwich. He's like, hey, you're not eating that, are you? And before he can even talk, the guy just grabs it and starts eating it.
Was he a fat guy?
Oh yeah. Well, they're all a little fat because this is an independent film, so like nobody looks like actors. They're basically just getting people off the street and saying, "Hey, be in a movie." You
hey,
know?
Can you eat a sandwich?
Yeah.
Actually, stealing someone's sandwich every day of work would be actually really funny, and I could see that in like an Office Space type situation.
A lot of the beginning does seem kind of Office Spacey because like there's no like Santa horror or anything like that. It's just this guy at work and everyone makes fun of him. He's basically like Milton. So the sandwich dealer is a guy named Frank, and he talks about how him and his wife are going on vacation for the weekend and he wants to get an early start. So he asks Harry if he can, you know, fill the rest of his shift. And Harry says, okay, because he wants to work back on the conveyor belt, you know, whatever. And he does that. Everyone's making fun of him because, like, what a loser. He's, you know, working on the belt with us or whatever. I don't fucking know. But afterward, the important thing is after work, he passes a bar, looks inside, and there's Frank with his buddies just getting drunk and, like, laughing about what a loser Harry was for taking his shift and everything. And then Harry's just there like, "Rrr." Well,
why do you care, Harry?
Come yeah, on. It's money. He wanted to do it, and it's money, yeah. But then we see what Harry's hobby is, which is standing on his roof with binoculars and watching over all the children to make sure if they're good or bad.
No, it's
purely innocent. He's Santa Claus. He's deciding.
That's how I feel when I watch Dance Moms.
Hey-o. He sees like one kid taking out the trash and like one girl just being a sweet, innocent little girl, and then one kid cutting nude pictures out of a Penthouse magazine. So he quickly like runs down. He's got these two books, one that's just labeled The Book of Good Children and then The Book of Bad Children. And he like writes down all the things. This kid's name is Moss Garcia. He's like writing down all like he has like on there, uses profane language and like poor body hygiene and shit, like all this like shit. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? So then cut to his brother Philip, who is obviously doesn't like having this like Santa obsessed weirdo as a brother. Like his wife is constantly trying to like encourage him and say, you know, your brother's not that bad. And he's like, one day he's going to do something. I'm going to answer for it or whatever like that. And then sure enough, Harry calls him and says, he can't be over for Thanksgiving this year because he's got things to do, while he's like creepily watching the Thanksgiving parade and like seeing Santa Claus. And then like, you sort of see a light go off in his head. And then he starts, like, he takes, like, a fur coat and starts cutting out the fur to make fur lining of
like
a jacket.
It's like a Grinch scene, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, putting spirit gum on his face to, like, put the beard and everything like that. And he basically just becomes Santa Claus. So he does this for a while.
Is this a scary movie?
It's, you would
well,
think.
It's
kind of
creepy.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, okay. But the way it's shot, it's not that. But I'll get to that later. So, cut to this movie jumps around a lot because it's Thanksgiving there, and then it cuts to a Christmas party at the company. So I'm like, oh, so this is like a week before Christmas now. They really jumped ahead. But at the Christmas party, the boss introduces Harry to this new guy, and they're talking about how the toy company is going to donate toys to this hospital for mentally retarded children. And Harry's all happy about this until he finds out that they don't know how many toys they're donating. Every kid might not get one.
Oh, no.
And they're talking about, you know, they're waiting until, like, more sponsors come and everything like that. And Harry's like, you just care about the money. You're a bad guy or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, they're a business, you know? I mean, I understand from Harry's point of view because he's Santa Claus. But, like, in their eyes, like, they're supposed to be the evil, greedy capitalist. But I'm like, what are they supposed to do? Just fucking go out of business to make sure all the children get all their toys? Like,
clearly.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, so that's the final straw for Harry. He storms off, like, suits up. And there's, like, a Rambo-esque scene of him, like, suiting up in all yes. of the Santa gear. Goes into the factory and just starts, like, pushing all the toys into his sacks and everything like that and, like, throwing them over his shoulder. And then he goes to his van, which now has a reindeer sleigh painted on it.
I heard about that, like, van
yeah.
art.
Yeah. He loads the sacks into his van and then just storms off. Oh, and also he
that's great.
Shovels up some dirt and puts that in a sack and leaves that for Moss Garcia because he was the bad kid.
He's, like, the only bad kid in this entire
city. The only one that he's seen. Like, there's one scene that's funny when he's walking by the kids, and he asks them what they want to be when they grow, or what do they wish for? And, like, one kid's like, I wish to be a fireman, and one's like, I wish for this, this, and this. And then Moss Garcia's like, I wish for a lifetime subscription to Penthouse. Well, now the kid got a bag of dirt. And then, like, he, you know, he sneaks into houses. He tries to go down the chimney, but it wasn't work. So he's finally like, fuck this, and just, like, goes through the door. So he's kind of half-assing it as Santa Claus, I guess. But, yeah, he sneaks through the door. And apparently in New York City in 1980, everyone just left their door unlocked because he just walks in with ease. Puts all the presents under the tree and then drives off to the home for the children. He finagles his way past the guard and past the nurses and everything and finally convinces them that he's got all these toys for them. He throws them the door and he's like, you're going to need some extra help for this one. He opens up and like the whole van is just filled with toys. And it's a really sweet scene where everyone's like getting the toys and they're like, thank you, Santa. And he's just ho-ho-hoing and like just basically so proud of himself that he's actually like literally being Santa Claus. I mentioned that really sweet, nice scene because then it gets fucking weird, and I don't know why. Next, he drives to a church, and you find out that the evil factory owner and his, like, new crony are there. So it's like, oh, he's going to get his revenge on these guys. So when they all come out, he's just standing there in his Santa gear. And then these four other people, these two guys and two girls who we've never seen before, walk up and just start making fun of Santa Claus and like they're saying like, hey, you got any presents for us and like all this shit. And then he pulls out a toy soldier. Oh, I should mention the toy soldiers first. He makes them himself. They're like these 6-inch tall pewter metal soldiers with like their swords just jutting outward. Even though this wasn't a horror movie, I was like, this is gonna end badly. And yeah. Sure enough, it does. He's like, I've got something for you. And the one guy's like, oh, really? Well, I have very high taste. You know, and like they're basically being like snooty rich guys. So he takes up the soldier and he's just like, Merry Christmas! And stabs him in the fucking eye. Then he takes out a hand axe. Because when I think of Santa Claus, I think of a tomahawk. And he just starts chopping people up and then just runs off. Next, he like looks for Frank's address, and it's funny, while he's like thinking about how Frank finagled him, he's sitting on the wheel of the car just like literally shaking his fists and growling. He sneaks into the guy's house and tries to suffocate Frank with his toy bag. That's not working, so he finally just grabs a star off a Christmas tree and cuts his throat with it. And that's that's the Christmas Eve scene. Next day it's Christmas Day. And it cuts to Philip with his kids, like, watching the TV, and all of a sudden, like, you cut to a special report about a killer dressed as Santa Claus just on the loose. And sure enough, Phil's like, holy shit, that's obviously my brother. He's finally lost his goddamn mind, you know?
How does he know it's not the real Santa?
Well, hold on. There's a pretty funny scene with, like, the cops where they have lineup of the usual suspects, and they're all dressed like Santa Claus. Just all these various different Santa Claus, and they have him, like, saying Merry Christmas. Like, you know, every fucking Santa Claus says Merry Christmas, so how are you going to deduce who's
who? Right.
There's a scene where, like, one of the cops is like, maybe this is a good thing, you know. Santa's showing the kids that, you know, that if you're bad, he's going to come and get you. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's so, encouraging them to act good.
So Santa's just like on the loose. Like he wakes up in his van, doesn't know what the hell he's gonna do now, and just like starts running around. And that's when he finds the Christmas party, and they bring him in, and he just dances along for a while. And then like there's all these kids around, and he says the weirdest thing ever. Like again, it's Jolly Santa, not Killer Santa. Like this Santa like differs wildly. But when the kids are all there, before he leaves, he says to him, you know.
I really must go now. But now, I want you to remember to stay good boys and girls. Respect your mothers and fathers and do what they tell you. Obey your teachers and learn a whole lot. Now, if you do this, I'll make sure you get good presents from me every year. But if you're bad boys and girls, your name goes in the bad boys and girls book, and I'll bring you something horrible.
Ha ha ha! And then it's like a, this awkward, like, death pause, and he just starts belly laughing. Like, and the kids all love it, but you kind of see all the parents like, what the hell was that? The next scene, he runs into all these, like, other kids, and they're all like, Santa, Santa! And then their parents show up, and they're like, stay away from Santa, kids! You know? But he's, like, giving presents to them. But, of course, you know, the parents don't want, they're afraid he's going to fucking kill him. So one guy pulled out a switchblade. Right. I don't know why this kid's, like, dad just had a switchblade, but he tries to fight off Santa.
He used to be a greaser in his
youth. I guess, yeah. But the kids all, like, stand around, like, no, don't hurt Santa, and that enables him to escape. But this causes the villagers, quote-unquote, to form an angry Frankenstein-esque mob. They just, like, they literally just start getting torches and, like, you know.
They get torches?
Yeah, torches and axes literal, and pitchforks
literal
and shit.
Torches.
Yeah.
You said this is New York, right?
It's New York. Like, it's like one of the most well-lit cities in the world. They all just run around with pitchforks. Yeah.
Literal torches.
Where would they even need pitchforks in the city?
I don't know. Like, it's so weird. Like, Santa runs off, and the next scene it cuts to all of them lighting up pitchforks. Like, they already had them ready.
You know, for all well, that, for all that hay stacking they had yeah. to do in they had downtown all the, Manhattan.
They had all the torches ready, but they didn't, like, have an excuse to use them yet.
No. Like, well, we got these torches. We got to use them for something.
Man, if only we, like, I'm just waiting for that mob breakout scene. Like, all, like everyone is, like, emergency oh. mob.
It's New York. They're waiting for a blackout.
There you go. So, Harry drives up to his brother's place. His brother is naturally upset with him and said, Harry, you got to turn yourself in. And Harry's like, no, it's okay. They're all dancing to my tune. There's a lot of talk about tunes. He's like, they're finally listening to my tune. And he's like, one day I'll play a tune and everyone will dance to it. Like, really crazy, like, I'll show them all type of stuff or whatever. And then Philip can't take it anymore and starts, like, grabbing by the throat and saying, you know, what's wrong with you or whatever. Oh, that's right. He blames Philip for his fuck up, because, like, you know, he's the one that told him there's no Santa Claus, and that's what made him run down and see the horrible
oh,
thing
yeah,
he didn't want
yeah.
to see. And then
that
Philip grabs
sense.
Him by the throat, and he's like, you're blaming me for something I said when I was 6 years old? And I'm like, hell yeah, like, what's this guy's problem? Like, it's your fault that I'm this weird, creepy killer Santa Claus. Well, anyway.
Isn't that always the way?
That's a completely logical
yeah.
argument.
Well, Philip goes a little too far, and it looks like, and, like, Santa, like, goes limp, and it looks like he might have died, and Philip's like, oh, shit, and just starts, like, dragging him back to,
wait, he's the hero.
Yeah, well, he starts dragging him back to his van, and then as he's, like, getting him in the van and everything, Harry wakes up and, like, does this dramatic, like, side punch thing to knock him out, and then just starts driving in his van. And then
side
right,
punch,
yeah,
knockout?
he does like a side
one
punch. Yeah, like
one
punch.
Side
it
punch
doesn't knock him out for like it knocks him down long enough that, you know, Harry can drive off. But then, like, Philip starts chasing after him. Then the mob shows up, and Harry, like, veers off the road, crashes through the guardrail, and then it gets surreal. The van,
that's what I heard about.
Yeah,
this.
The van, rather than falling, flies upward, and everyone watches as the van flies off into the night. And then you hear the last lines of The Night Before Christmas. So, you know, as he flew out of sight, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night, you know, that thing. And that's it. It cuts to black, and the credits roll. I'm like, so was he really Santa Claus? Is that what I'm getting out of it?
I think if we all just believe hard enough.
I guess.
I think if you go on a slight murderous rampage, you know, and believe you're Santa, that you become Santa.
That's
the initiation process. Yeah.
So the reason I like calling it You Better Watch Out better than Christmas Evil is that it's not really about a killer Santa Claus. I mean, he does end up killing some people, but really, that doesn't happen until, like, an hour into the movie. Before that, it's just, like, a character study of some guy who's really, really creepily into Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And then is Santa Claus, or becomes Santa Claus, or some shit. But one of my favorite lines from it was when he meets the kids in the street, and his, like, suit is all, like, bloody and grimy from the day before. And they're like, Santa, your suit's all dirty. And he's like, well, there's a lot of pollution from here to the North Pole. This movie is, I don't even know what to say. Like I said, like, before he, like, suits up and does his Santa thing, it's just an interesting kind of, like, character study about this guy who's weird and awkward and clearly has, like, issues with sexuality because he saw his dad dressed as Santa Claus doing his mom. But then it becomes a horror movie. Then it, like, becomes supernatural. I don't know. I first learned about this movie from my old roommate. We used to have cable, and we had the Chiller Channel. And that's when I had a weird shift. I used to have to wake up at like 4 a.m. to go to work at that point. So I wake up and he's just on the couch sleeping, and I look over and I see a guy dressed as Santa Claus like getting heckled by people coming out of church. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's Chiller, so it should be a horror movie, but it's Santa Claus. What's going on here? And then all of a sudden he pulls out his toy soldier and just says, Merry Christmas, and stabs the guy in the eye. And then I'm really like, what the hell is this? that's pretty much all I got to say. Like, I was able to find this on the internet easily because I guess it's public domain now. Because like, I guess nobody ever renewed the copyright for it.
I find that to be kind of strange. Like, yeah. So many bad movies have copyrights because they know they can make money off them, but then like certain ones fall through the cracks, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, I haven't confirmed it's public, but I think it is because like there's a lot of different DVDs out for it, including one by Troma. But that catches me as kind of weird that the movie didn't really take off more, because that's still like kind of a controversial subject of Santa Claus killing people, because Santa Claus is like this paragon of goodness and innocence, but this movie just fell through the cracks. That, of course, leads me to your review, a movie that is similar but did not fall through the cracks at all.
Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there."
And I think the reason that it got so much attention was in part due to the popularity of slasher films.
Yeah.
Because yours was from 1980.
So it was just starting to pick up.
Yeah, and so there have been 4 whole years of parents watching crazy trailers on their TV, and, you know. And this one, the whole ad campaign, like the trailer, you see just like from the shoulders down, Santa grabbing weapons or like holding up a knife and
stuff. That's right.
And then, of course, the movie poster is like a rooftop with a chimney, and Santa's arm is like reaching out of the chimney holding an axe. You know, so it's easy for little kids to see that and be like, "Ah, oh, mommy, what the fuck? Santa's a killer. I want gifts, not axes in my face."
I like your
that was
kid impersonation.
That was terrific. But you should quit your day job.
Yeah, all right. But yeah, so there were like a lot of angry mothers, and like PTAs would gather together and protest outside of theaters.
Yeah.
And part of me says, like, it's a movie, you need to calm yourself. But then at the same time, I'm not a parent, and I don't ever, like, if I was young enough to have seen the trailer, I don't know if I would have cared or been frightened by it. But in theory, I just want to tell everybody to shut the fuck up and calm down, because it's just a movie. Like, that's not reality. Even what you tell your kids about Santa, that's not reality. Like, who's pointing the finger?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
What, this guy that somebody made up a long time ago and brings kids gifts isn't real, but in this movie he's a killer, and somehow that's more real, and we're going to get upset about it?
That's a really good point that I don't think anyone's ever mentioned before.
Well, I don't know. So it got a lot of flack for that. And because of all the protests, they had to pull the ads off TV. And then soon after that, it died in theaters because they weren't advertising this product that they were trying to sell.
Angry Mothers literally like killed this movie, basically.
Yeah. It's funny, though. You'd think it would have the opposite effect.
I figured, that would make like more teens want to see it, and like people that frequent horror movies want to see it
right.
more. But
like, probably now, like if that happened now, that same thing happened now, and you'd have a bunch of mothers get all pissed off. Everyone would be like, "Oh, we're gonna see it now." because the internet would happen and be like, "Well, look at all these dumb mothers not liking this crazy movie." I'm on Reddit. I'm so smart.
I have a mom.
No one knows my real name, so I say whatever I want on the internet. Your mom sucks. I had sex with her last night. I'm going to go see Santa Kills People now.
Thank you, internet. Like, with the MPAA and like rock and roll and stuff, that whole argument was resulted in certain albums that had like swears and shit in them have this parental warning label.
Right.
And that made kids buy those albums more.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd think it would be kind of similar. I don't know.
I don't know.
But how about I just talk about the fucking movie?
Okay.
All right. So our story begins on Christmas Eve. A family is visiting their comatose grandpa in an old folks' home. And so they're like, they come in and they're like, oh, hi, grandpa. You know, Merry Christmas. And he doesn't say anything. And little Billy, who's like the main character in this, is like, why doesn't he say anything? Well, little Billy, grandpa is sick and he doesn't talk. Can he hear us? Well, probably not. Then why are we here? And they both, his parents just look at him like, you know, act right or I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
But really, that doesn't make fucking sense. If he doesn't know he's there, why the fuck would you even go visit him? But the parents are talking to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, look, I've got some paperwork for you. Come into my office. And so they leave little Billy next to their comatose grandfather. And it's like clockwork. As soon as the parents leave the room, he comes to life and grabs little Billy.
Of course.
And little Billy's like, Mom, come quick. Because, you know, Grandpa's suddenly alive now. And he says, oh, don't get her. What do you need her for? You know, I don't know. He just starts to have this conversation with her. And he's like, you know, it's almost Christmas. You know what Santa does, don't you? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, he brings gifts to little boys who are good all year. But you know what he brings to bad kids? Oh, he punishes them. Punishes them for all the naughty things they've done. And now little Billy's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. This,
I don't know, mummy grandpa just came back to life and scaring the shit out of him with Santa killer Santa stories. And naturally, just in time for his parents to come back, grandpa falls back into his comatose state. So later when he tells his parents... you know, I don't want Santa to come. He's gonna punish me because I was bad like that one time this year. Now I'm scared. And well, who told you that, Billy? Grandpa did. And both mom and dad look at each other like, could he have said something? Well, why would he have said that? Well, I don't know. Why would Billy lie? So these two parents have like this really dumb conversation about whether or not their kid's making this shit up.
Rule number one, never trust your kid.
That's right.
I know. That's why kids get hit so often.
Rule number two, don't trust adults.
Right. So they're having this conversation on their ride home from the, I don't know, sanitarium or whatever the fuck this place is. And wouldn't you know it, as they're talking about how Billy needs to go to bed soon, otherwise Santa won't come. And they're like, he's like, well, come on, let's go. Or maybe we shouldn't get there. I don't know. I'm still kind of creeped out. Up ahead on the road, there is a man dressed as Santa. And he's like flagging them down because his car broke down. And so now Billy's like, I don't want to meet Santa. He's like, no, it's okay. It's just a man dressed like Santa. And so they get closer and they ask him if he needs any help. And he's like, well, no, I'm okay. I've just, you know, had a little... thing. They're like, oh yeah, well, you need help? He's like, no, it's I'm okay. And then he pulls a gun on him.
Whoa.
Apparently the Santa is a criminal who just robbed a convenience store
while dressed as Santa.
No one ever expects.
No. Come to think
it's
of it,
almost the perfect crime.
I know. As come to think of it, I've seen that or something similar in like two or three other movies where there's like
I
a bunch
so.
Of Santas and stuff. But so the father hits the gas, and in doing so, he gets shot.
Oh.
And he kind of like veers off the road, and the mother's screaming, and little Billy's like, fuck this, and hops out of the car and goes hides in a ditch. Meanwhile, like the baby, his baby sister is screaming in the back seat.
Oh, shit.
And the mother's screaming, and the Santa comes over to her, and he grabs her and throws her on the ground, and he rips her top open and proceeds to share his Yule log.
Really? Really?
Hey,
that was
over after that weeks of rape. I was trying to avoid the word.
Okay. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Every week.
Well, bad things happen.
New Year's resolution for both of you.
No more rape.
For both of you.
Don't be raping.
New Year's resolution for both of you. No more rape movies. On the show. You just can't talk about it on
the show.
You don't
really expect it. It just sort of shows up.
Right. like a boner in pool class. You didn't want it to happen, but now everybody knows.
Wow.
Anyway. Uh-huh. Carry on.
So, little Billy, because he's hiding in this ditch, pretty much watches his mother and father get killed by mm-hmm. Santa Claus. And it doesn't show what happens to the baby, but I just kind of assumed, yeah. because it's never addressed, so okay, well, I killed yeah. the baby, or he ate the baby, or I don't
he
know.
He ate the baby.
He kidnapped it to raise another psychotic Santa Jr. or something. I don't
Will
know.
She be his it. Elf sidekick?
Probably.
Okay. We just told a spinoff story right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It should have been the sequel. Or she's sold in the prostitution or something. Yeah, but...
Oh, no.
Anyway, so now the film cuts to the time where he's about like 9 years old and he's living in an orphanage and it's run by nuns. By the way, I don't know, like, no one ever caught the killer, and
it's
no one ever mentioned,
never addressed.
Yeah, if, like, someone found him in a ditch, or he went off on some adventure, I don't know.
An adventure?
Yeah. Like, he's out in the middle of nowhere.
A killer Santa guy.
It just suddenly spins into this, like, quick little adventure moment for this kid who just lost, get out of here, no way!
It could have happened. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh, Drat, Ma and Pa, it's time for me to go on ye adventure.
I'll find your killer, and then that's like a whole other movie.
Yeah.
It goes and gets like the Adventure Time outfit all like, what's going on?
So now he's in this, I don't know, little kid shack. And,
or orphanage. I think they're called orphanages.
They go by many names. So he's being raised by these nuns. And there's a young nun and an old nun. And the old nun is the, you know, mother superior. And she's all, you know, spankings with rulers. And the young one is trying to address the fact that he witnessed his parents be murdered by Santa Claus. And the mother superior is just like, oh, he just needs another spanking. That's all.
That solves everything.
Catholicism. And so... that whole conversation of whether or not he just needs to be nurtured and, you know, talk out his emotions and what he saw gets brought on by it's Christmas time and all the kids are drawing pictures of Santa and stuff.
Oh boy.
And he draws a picture of him like headless or something. I forget. But there's like knives in. It's pretty fucked up for a little kid. Yeah. So he's pretty much told to go see the principal. And then that results in him being like locked in his room for however long. And. But, so yeah, he is having these recurring issues, and naturally it's Christmas time, like a day or two later, Santa comes to talk to all the kids, and of course it's just a guy in a suit, but he wants nothing to do with it. And they're like, look, just sit on his lap, it'll be okay, just tell him what you want. Yeah, he flips out, and it's kind of funny, he punches Santa in the face, and he's a grown man, but he like flies backwards, like
damn,
into the tree.
He's fucking strong.
I know. So now he's in real trouble.
In another life, this kid could have grown up to become Batman.
Yeah, pretty much. Mostly, yeah. So you see, now that he's like 9 or 10 or however old, he's still having this trouble, and it's like manifesting into these awkward Santa-related emotions. And,
Forrest just ruined it. All I can think of is Batman. Oh my god! Thanks, Forrest.
Sorry.
Well, he does grow up and wear a suit, but it's a Santa suit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Whatever.
He takes his fear and makes it his own.
That's true.
There's so many parallels.
He is Batman, except he's Santa Man.
He's not rich. He doesn't have a sidekick.
Does he always have a
he's
plan?
He's not cool. He doesn't have a car. He walks around Idaho. That's where this takes place. Or no, not Idaho.
All right, thank you. Thank you for fixing it.
Good enough.
When I think of Gotham, I don't really think of Idaho. Okay, good. You win.
Actually, I misspoke. It's Utah.
That's even worse.
I know. Oh, fuck. All right. So now he's troubled and getting smacked a lot with rulers. It cuts to another, like, 10 years in the future. Now he's 18.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's 18, it's like now he's not a ward of the nuns. So they're helping him be an adult. The young nun, I think it was Sister Margaret, she's taking him to look for jobs. And the only job he can get is at a toy store, Ira's Toy Store.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, Ira's like, oh, I don't know, it's some kid. I don't want him working around here. I need someone to work, you know, the stock room, lift heavy crates and boxes. And then she's like, oh, well, maybe you should meet him first. And he's, like, super cut. He's like, apparently at the orphanage, he would like juggle the other children.
They just have a full gym at the orphanage. Yeah.
So he starts to work there and everything's going fine. He makes a few friends. There's even this girl who he kind of likes and he's never had a relationship before because, you know, the nuns and whatnot. Right. So he feels kind of weird about it and doesn't know how to address it. So he's just kind of, he's like, you know, nice back to her and everything. But as we get closer to Christmas, you know, there's decorations, you know, there's a Santa in the store talking to kids, and he starts to have moments where you can see he's having, like, the Nom flashbacks. And he becomes sort of erratic at times and things.
Yeah.
And that leads up to Christmas Eve, where the guy who plays Santa went skiing and broke his leg. And so now they need someone to fill in last minute. So they ask him to do it because he fits the costume. And you see him wearing it and he's like sweating down his face. And he's like really fucking awkward. In fact, it's funny. Like you mentioned in your movie, Santa talking to kids and the parents are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
In this movie, it was like the opposite. But the scene is equally weird. He's sitting there and a girl's on his lap. And she knows that he's weird for some reason because how he's acting. And he's like, no, just you settle down. You're being naughty. I don't want to have to punish you. And he's like whispering it, it seems. And the little girl, it's funny. She didn't want, apparently they didn't, they couldn't find a kid who could act or they didn't want to pay her to talk. Because the whole time she's like fumbling around on his lap, like kind of like moving. She's uncomfortable and making like, like weird anime noises, like being naughty. I don't want to punish you. And so, like, just watching the scenes between, like, where they show the parents and stuff, I'm like, what the fuck is he doing to that girl? I'll punish you, man. Well, this is bizarre. But of course, the mothers are like, wow, she's so well behaved. I don't. He's great with kids because he's threatening their lives. Oh my god. Okay, so the day wraps up, and Ira, the owner of the shop, he's a character. He's at the door, like, ready to lock it. He's counting down the seconds. He's like, oh, it's 7 o'clock. We made it. Time to get shit-faced.
Yeah.
And they start, like, this employee party. There's a lot of booze and stuff.
Yeah.
And before long, the girl that Billy likes and this other employee, they sneak off to a back room together. The guy told her that he's got a gift for her.
Oh, boy.
And she was gullible enough to go back there. And so he's, like, pushing himself on her. And Billy sees them go back there. And he's, like, uncomfortable because he thinks they're doing it, which they kind of are about to, you know what I mean?
Right.
And he starts, I think, it reminds him of his mother.
Oh, boy.
And how she was, you know,
right.
Yule logged. And so he goes back there to interrupt it, because now he's dressed like Santa. He has the power to punish naughty people, and he feels like he has to because I don't know.
Because
it's a fucking movie, and they had to fill, you know, 90 minutes with something. So he goes back there, and he pulls this guy off of her, and he chokes him to death with, like, Christmas tree lights. And then she's like, oh, my God, what are you doing? You killed him. And he goes on about how, like, you know, the naughty need to be punished. Punishment is good. And then he pulls a knife out of his pocket, which I don't know why he had it, and stuck her. And then she dies.
What did she do?
Doesn't matter. Now he's on a rampage. Poor old man. Poor old man Ira. He comes back because he hears noises, and he's shit-faced, too. He and one of the other employees are, like, singing Christmas songs. And that's one thing I want to mention. All the music in this movie is completely made up for this movie.
Oh,
like, they're
really
singing Christmas carols like they're carols. I've never heard this shit before, and it's all awful. But so he takes a moment.
That's kind of awesome, actually.
So they take a moment out from singing to go investigate strange noises, which is always a key element of every slasher movie.
Yeah.
And he gets, like, an axe in the chest, if I remember right. So from there, he kills a few more people, one of them being Linnea Quigley.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know she was in this movie.
Her character, she doesn't have, like, an important role, But now Billy's on this rampage, and he stops at a house, and it I have to explain. So when Aya Quigley and her boyfriend are supposed to be babysitting, but, you know, they're not.
Yeah.
They're in the family's rec room making out on the pool table, and she's topless.
We call that sweater action.
Sweater action.
Docker and sweater action.
Petting the meat puppies?
No, that's not what we call it.
So they're, like, getting pretty hot and heavy, and she says, "Oh, did you hear that? The bell rang, like a jingle type bell or whatever." She's like, "That's the cat. It needs to come in because it's cold outside. Just give me a minute. I'll go let it in." And I'm like, okay. So she gets up, puts shorts on, but still topless, and goes up to the front door, opens the front door, standing in the front door, topless, calling this cat. And like, what the fuck would it be like to be her neighbors?
Awesome. That's what it would be like.
So the cat runs in, and so does Santa, and then there's this little cat and mouse chase. And then he ends up killing her.
Damn it.
He ends up killing her by lifting her up and skewering her on like a gazelle head, like the horns or whatever.
I've seen that scene before, but I didn't know that was Linnea Quigley.
Yeah, she was really young in this. I compared to other movies, like I can't place how young, but just like the look of her face, she is noticeably different.
Okay. I'm used to her with the punk rock cut, you know, and everything. Yeah.
So, a few more people die, but Sister Margaret comes to pick up Billy from work. Mm-hmm. And she's
the good one, right?
Yeah. Okay. She's a little leery because it's Christmas time, and she knows that got to play Santa.
Yeah.
And so, but she gets there, she finds all the dead people. Now her role becomes sort of like Loomis in Halloween, which there are parts of this that's like Halloween formula, but a different holiday, right, and like other characters were jammed in or pushed out. But so now she runs to the police and, "Look, you're not going to believe me, but this guy is dressed like Santa. He's killing me." So it's kind of like, you know, it's almost exactly like the same Loomis character.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to figure out where he's going to hit next. And she says, "Well, you know, if you think about it, there's sort of like a logic to it, the way he's killing people." And the cop says, "Yeah, I bet we can use that to our advantage. We can find out where he's going to hit next."
What?
In theory, that makes sense because he's punishing naughty people.
Oh.
But it doesn't make any sense because he's just sort of walking around town looking for
like, what, are they just going to hang out like strip clubs and stuff?
I don't know. But so it turns out the two of them decide that he's going to hit the orphanage. Is that what you called it? Orphanage? Child home for the lame?
Child home for the lame. That's
parentless bastards house of...
Pancakes?
No, House of Ruler Smacks.
That's not as good as pancakes.
So it's
I
the
can
next
eat pancakes.
So it's the next day, and like the detective or whatever who's in charge of the Killer Santa case and the nun are racing there. And there's like an all points bulletin. You know, everyone in the area needs to go to this orphanage and look for Santa. Now, I mentioned how creepy and weird the grandpa was at the beginning.
Yeah.
And like, if you stop and think about it, it's really fucking strange.
Right.
But there's this other scene that's equally weird. So a cop is like, "Oh, I'm right by there. I'll just do a Yui and head over to the thing." And then so he gets there and he's on the radio. He's like, "Oh, everything seems to be okay. Kids are outside playing." There's Santa. And so he like pulls up front, grabs his gun. He's like, "Hey, you, hey, stop, freeze, stop. No, get away from those kids." And he doesn't respond. So he just shoots him like 3 or 4 times in the back.
Oh, boy.
Well, it turns out that that's not Crazy Billy. That apparently is an old priest that comes and visits on Christmas and he dresses like Santa. And well, why didn't he respond? Why didn't he stop or say anything? Well, he's deaf.
Okay, yeah.
What the fuck is that? So could you imagine Santa coming and he's deaf? And so he's, you know, like, "What do you want for Christmas?" Except it's like, "What do you want for Christmas?"
No!
Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you have a deaf man interact with talking and hearing things?
I don't know what I'm more upset about. I'm not sure if I'm more upset about the movie or what you just did.
That was great.
So it's not bad enough that, you know, he can't hear, but now he...
I'm making a whole list for you guys for New Year's. It's a list of things.
Oh, God. So shortly after that, Billy does show up, and in a very Loomis sort of way, he is killed and he falls down. I don't mind spoiling it because it's just sort of a mediocre movie, but, and it's been around long enough.
Right.
But it's funny because you know how all these slasher movies, especially in the 80s, had like that twist ending?
Yeah.
And some of them were really good. Some of them were interesting. Some of them were just lame. Well, this is kind of lame and really forced because as Billy's laying there dying, like bleeding out from bloodshot wounds, he says, "It's okay, kids. Now you're safe because Santa's gone." And then he dies. And then this kid who just watched all this happen looks up at the old cranky nun, Mother Superior, and says, "Naughty!" And then you hear da-da type music, and then the credits roll. So it's like next generation of Santa killers.
That's pretty lame.
It is lame, yeah.
So to live up to the hype, is it as controversial as all the mothers back? Okay.
It's one of those things, like, if they would have just watched it. I mean, I understand why they were upset, but at the same time, like, whatever. The advertising sold the movie way better than the movie could have.
Yeah. I remember we saw it. It was one of the things that was featured in Going to Pieces.
Yeah.
And we were really interested in seeing that just because of the uproar that it caused and everything. You know? And the trailer was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of weird. Like, even Siskel and Ebert on their show, they, like, ridiculed it and said it was disgusting. And, oh, this is the grossest, most terrible movie since I Spit on Your Grave.
Siskel and Ebert said that, like, every week.
Well, it's funny because they, in their review of the movie, said that the producers and director and writer and all this were just exploiting the holiday to sell tickets, and they were making it gruesome and sexual so that people would come and see it. And at the same time, they, on their show, are reviewing this. Right, because if they're talking about this movie that's getting protested, people are going to watch and see why they're, you know, why are they protesting? What's in this movie?
Yeah, that's why I'm amazed they're full that more of shit. People didn't see it. So, yeah. that's
I guess, you know, it's kind of strange. I picked this movie to talk about over a week ago.
Yeah.
And it's about this kid who, I don't know, has a fucked up life and then goes crazy and kills a bunch of people. And that's sort of something that's in the news.
Yes.
And I just have a simple message for everyone listening or not listening. You'll know if you're not listening. You'll just
yes,
know.
Yes, you'll hear it psychically.
Yes. That's the power of Slaughter Film.
Yes.
If you are upset at the world and you want to end it all along with, you know, however many other lives, my suggestion is to start with yourself, and then, you know, if you still want to progress, by all means. But I think it's important to, you know, just experience it firsthand, you know. Like when cops, they're given their taser or, like, pepper spray, they have to do it first. Right, yeah. Know what you're doing. Just, you know, off your head.
Yeah, so there you go.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Oh, man. One last thing I was going to say. I guess, like, the reason that my movie didn't cause the uproar that yours is because, like, yours was very much a horror film, like, from start to finish.
Well, that's, like, I mentioned that it was kind of mediocre, too. Like, it wasn't very scary or anything. And there was blood in it, but it wasn't, like, really graphic gore or anything. So as a horror movie, it's just okay. But it's kind of funny the publicity it got, whether you count the protesting or not.
Yeah.
It was just sort of okay. And I think no one would really remember it
otherwise. But now it's become infamous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go, angry parents who complain about violence in the media. You just make things infamous, and that makes kids want to see it or know about it more, like even 25 years after the fact.
No, you're not allowed to see that. But why can't I see it? Because it's terrible and bad for you. But why? Oh, just go to your room.
Just because.
I'm going to sneak out and see this fucking movie.
It happened with Natural Born Killers.
Huh?
Bob Dole, like, flipped out about that movie and said, like, it's morally reprehensible. It's loaded with sex and violence. Then every teenager's like, we've got to fucking see this movie.
It has sex and violence? Yeah. Oh, fuck.
So that's pretty much it. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. Well, actually, we'll probably be saying that again in the next review, too. So, not Merry Christmas yet.
We have some comments.
Oh, cool. I didn't know.
Yes. A couple of these are responding to your review last week of
Okay.
Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah.
The first one from our friend Gex.
Hey,
He mentions we were talking about gargoyle movies and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
he threw out his comment. There is a gargoyle movie from 72 just called Gargoyles.
Oh.
And it was made for TV movie.
Okay.
And I've actually seen it around, but I haven't watched it yet. But so there you go. Stick that in your pipe.
Okay, I will. I guess I've been told.
He also he asked us if we'd seen the original Tales from the Crypt movie, like before the.
I haven't yet. That's one of the previews from Hell movie that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, it's actually I've seen it and it's pretty good. It's like a solid anthology. Most of the stories are pretty good,
cool.
And it also has a killer Santa.
Oh, yeah?
One of the first segments, unless I'm imagining this, I'm getting it confused with something. But yeah, it's about a woman who kills her husband on Christmas Eve and is like trying to hide the body. Meanwhile, there are all these radio news bulletins about a lunatic escape, crazy house and is now wearing a Santa suit and stuff. And so she's worried that she's going to get caught for killing her husband. Meanwhile, there is a real killer out there, and then he so happens to show up on her door. And at first, like, there's like a doorbell ring and stuff. She's like, oh my God, is all the blood cleaned up? Is everything, So it's actually pretty good. But yes, cool. It's a pretty good movie all around.
Okay, cool.
One of our friends on Facebook, Matthew Sauerkraut Swanson, he said that Romero and Tom Savini have both said that Tales from the Dark Side is like the unofficial Creepshow 3.
Yeah, I heard about that when I was doing the research for the movie and everything. So, yeah.
That makes sense because it seems to fit right in
it
there.
It does, yep. Cool.
And one more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. We're popular.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Matthew Stewart says, I've always found it interesting that John Harrison was the director of Tales from the Dark Side, and he also provided some of the awesome music for Creepshow, which is true because like both of those, I find it weird that both of them are anthologies.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of the same people working on both.
Uh-huh.
And he did the music for Day of the Dead, too, which is like Yeah. So he's got like that Romero connection.
Interesting.
Yes. He also has a movie-related blog.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to include a link to that in our show notes.
Great.
And I think that's everything.
Well.
Ta-da! 9 out of 10 would do it again.
All right. Tell your friends.
Be sure to check out slaughterfilm.com for news and reviews.
Yes, and make sure to leave questions, comments, or even other film suggestions, and we will address them at a later recording.
This edition of Slaughter Film has been brought to you by our producer, John Linvay, introduced by me, Ricky Morrow, and music by Xeno Genocide.